Huh.
Watching Kyle's unboxing videos again?
Yeah, he always finds the coolest... No way! A robot dog? Gotta ask where he got it.
Or use your Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Just draw a circle around the dog on your screen, and it shows you where to buy it right in the app.
Oh, I just learned a new trick. And that for once, I beat Kyle to the next big thing.
Circle it, find it with the new Galaxy S24 Ultra and circle the search with Google. Get yours now at Samsung.com. Internet connection required. Results may vary based on visuals.
Let's go live!
Live!
We'll do it live!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You said you wanted to meet me in private? You got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You can't win in this league consistently unless you have a first-rate quarterback.
New England should 100% pick whoever they feel is the best quarterback available.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer, comedian Alex Edelman, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. That's right. I'm giving myself a round of applause.
Oh,
I don't care.
Yeah, let's go.
You know, if not me, who? If not now, when? I'm feeling good about myself here on this Friday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Last Friday in March. Good Lord, what is happening to this calendar year in 2024? 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this program. Say hello to everybody here on the Rich Eisen Show by calling us. It would be great to chat with you here on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey. We say hello to our podcast listeners. All 3 hours are available for you to listen to whenever you darn well please. Certainly spend part of the weekend catching up on whatever you might want to listen to. We say hello to everybody out there in the sound of our voice or checking us out right here. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How is everything over there?
Rich, I'm great. We're in first place.
Yeah, look at you at the reveal.
I don't know how many times I'm going to be able to say that this year, but I want to enjoy it today.
At the Red Sox reveal?
The Red Sox.
Hey, the Red Sox at 1-0, I guess, is softening the blow of being 0-2 in your last two games against the Atlanta Hawks. Is it Boston Celtics?
I mean, just absolutely nothing about it.
It's all right. You're marathoning. You're not sprinting. It's okay. Good to see you. Jason Feller, good to see you, sir. How are you?
Rich?
Good to see you. And then TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit. Congratulations on your opening day rainout for the Mets.
Well, I mean, we didn't lose yesterday.
That's
so
good.
Flawless. We got that going for us.
That's good.
Which is nice.
Yanks with a big W yesterday in Houston, which is from every Yankee fan, from me to George Costanza. It's great. whenever you beat Houston.
You tell those sons of bees.
Hey, stop.
Sorry.
It's a Festivus miracle.
Okay. So, March Madness returned to action last night on the men's side of things. And we saw, finally, we saw chalk get erased a little bit. The chalk got erased from the board a little bit. As Clemson took care of business against Arizona to advance to the Elite Eight for the first time since 1980.
Wow.
And then later on the same court, in the Downtown Hoops Dojo here in Los Angeles, California, home of the Red Hot Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers, the Alabama Crimson Tide bounced Alabama Crimson Tide bounced North Carolina to advance to an Elite Eight for the first time since 2004.
Roll Tide.
And Alabama plays Clemson as Hunter Renfro will be out there for the tip.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Alabama and Clemson taking care of business against each other for the right to cut down nets.
That's right.
Here in Los Angeles. And hey, everybody.
Tua versus Deshaun.
Hey, everybody. Illinois is advanced to the Elite Eight after taking care of business against Iowa State. Way past midnight in Boston, Massachusetts.
Jeez, whoa.
So we thank everybody for hanging in there in TD Garden for a Friday morning finish. Man. So Illinois, it moves on to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2005. And so Clemson moves to the Elite Eight for the first time since 1980. Alabama moves to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2004. Illinois moves on to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2005. And UConn moves on to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2023. And UConn is on a roll. We might just be witnessing. We're in the middle. it appears, or maybe on the back half of one of the most dominant men's college basketball performances in the history of the sport. We are in the midst of all of that because UConn last year, coming out of nowhere, I understand, they believed in themselves, the Huskies, but the UConn Huskies last year destroyed the competition, destroyed them. They won all six games in cutting down the nets to win the NCAA tournament by an average of 20 points. And last night, they beat the team that they beat to cut down the nets and win the tournament last year in a rematch. They beat San Diego State University by 30 points last night, 35. Which is the largest margin of victory we've witnessed in a Sweet 16 game since 2017. So let me just repeat. They swept all the competition last year by an average of 20. They were easily the first overall seed in this men's basketball tournament this year by boat racing most of its competition this year. I mean, they have now set a record. They have now set a record for most consecutive non-conference victories by double digits. They also lead the nation in scoring average. After three NCAA tournament games this season, after coming in as the clear favorite to win it all, and the first overall seed, and the target on their backs more than any other team that they have in this field, after halfway through their a repeat championship, UConn has trailed for a grand total in three NCAA tournament games. Trailed, where they looked up and they saw the opponent have more points than them. A grand total of 28 seconds.
What?
Through three NCAA tournament games. The Huskies have led by double digits. Out of a possible 60 second half minutes. So, three games, 20 minutes per second half. Out of 60 possible second half minutes in this NCAA tournament.
I'm not good with numbers, but that sounds good.
They have led by double digits for 58 minutes and 27 seconds of those 60 minutes. By double digits.
Yeah, what are we doing?
That's dominant.
And after, again, last year winning their six games by a margin of victory of 20.
What are we doing?
Their first three games this year, their average margin of victory is 28.7 points. They're hitting people harder this year. And next up is Illinois for them to head to Arizona for another Final Four. They're in the midst of potentially one of the greatest all-time runs. Dan Hurley, after last night's victory, quote, "We suck at winning close games, so you have to go with the alternative."
Genius.
I like that.
So that's what's up.
Genius.
And I understand Clemson has got to feel really good about itself, and why not? And Alabama with a nice win. And so Clemson or Alabama is going to be next up for UConn. Cool. Unless Illinois upsets. This would be one of the greatest.
I'd be stunned.
This would be one of the biggest upsets in the history of the NCAA tournament. And I know I'm saying things that sound a little bit exaggeration, but that's what's happening right now. Because UConn is that dominant, and they are killing people. Killing them. So there's that. Tonight, you've got, speaking of Cinderella, NC State is taking on Marquette tonight. Houston and Duke, that's going to be a fun one in the South region, in Dallas, Texas. And then in Detroit, Creighton and Tennessee are taking one another. And Purdue is taking on three buses worth of migrants that snuck into the country. No, I'm sorry. That's Gonzaga that was on those buses outside of the Detroit airport. look it up if you don't know what I'm referring to.
I'm going to have to wait till the break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are we doing?
Look it up. That was a bit of insanity that was going on the hellscape called X yesterday.
Well, that explain why I don't know about
In Detroit, Purdue taking on Gonzaga in its ninth straight Sweet 16, taking on the first-rated Purdue Boilermakers there. And that's going to be fun tonight. It's 1 versus 5, 2 versus 3 in Detroit, and it's 1 versus 4 and 2 versus 11 in Dallas, Texas. So that's a lot of fun. I'm not even looking at my bracket anymore. It is total, complete trash.
I didn't even see who's winning our
it's
little
trash.
Challenge.
It's trash.
It's probably me.
It's trash. Coop's out because he had Iowa State. That's over. But Arizona, I had Arizona going to the Final Four, so that's history.
All right.
And again, it's going to be Clemson or Alabama. You've seen all the football talk with Clemson taking on Alabama.
That's really fun.
I was right about Hunter Renfrow, right? That was the proper. that was the correct. Play, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people thought that was a pick play down in the state of Alabama. They still do to this very day. I'm kind of correct about that. We've got a lot of football on our brains as always here. Albert Breer is going to join us at the top of hour number two now that we're completely clear of the owners' meeting. And now we're getting full into the lying season, as many people refer to it in the NFL draft. 1 month from today, it's all over.
Love it.
We'll be heading back from Detroit. By the way, happy to say, the Rich Eisen Show is heading to Detroit thanks to our partnership with Roku. We'll be in Detroit for the draft. We will be doing this show from the draft, which we're very excited about.
Squad goals.
Thank you so much. we'll be witnessing the madness firsthand.
Can't wait.
And Caleb Williams will go first overall, people.
We think.
I'll just let you know that right now for the Come At Me mock draft, no matter how much people might be flipping out in Chicago about success staring them right in the face. I don't think they can compute it. And they're looking for anything for the trapdoor to open, that Caleb Williams isn't as good as people advertise, or, oh my God, his cell phone cover is pink. Oh my God, so he cried on his mom's shoulder. Oh my God. Listen.
So dumb.
Just don't at all get caught up in understanding that success is staring you in the face.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. And I love this photograph that we keep showing of him from his pro day, where he is smiling, he is having a good time, and the football's in his left hand because he was just goofing around, warming up, and throwing left-handed. And by the way... Look better than Tim Tebow's passes I saw in person.
Come on.
Oh, he's catching strays today.
Pew, pew, pew. What did Tim do?
Nothing. There he is throwing right-handed. That's more conventional for him.
That's a little bit better.
Okay, so he's going first. Now, you know, the conversation will be Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and there will also be J.J. McCarthy in this mix. And will they go 4 in a row? And what is the conversation surrounding who would trade up? The New England Patriots, Chris, yesterday while you were out, we played Bob Kraft basically saying, I will leave it up to the deciders. He's leaving it up to the deciders. But at the end of the day, he would like a good young quarterback
to lead the team. Guess what's going to happen?
I don't know, man, because Matt Miller is going to join us in a second from ESPN, and he believes the Patriots will trade out. He believes that the Vikings will flip both first-round selections to New England, and New England will trade down and build on their offensive line.
I mean, I like that idea, too.
And defensive back group.
Yeah.
And you'll see in a second when we talk to Matt, as we reveal his mock draft, he thinks that they will move down and supplement. And he also thinks the Broncos are going to move up for my guy. Let me tell you, man, Sean Payton with J.J. McCarthy would be a nice combination. And then I will just leave this. If this is the scenario that plays out, 4 quarterbacks go in a row to start the NFL draft, which, again, for those of us who cover the draft and then host the draft, and there's only a handful of us, and for those of us who are part of a draft coverage, and there's only a handful of us, to have very famous quarterbacks involving big-time franchises like New England and the Washington Commanders feeling good about themselves, and then maybe the Denver Broncos or the Vikings trading up to go get them, and all of that, it is awesome. The intrigue is great. The interest level is awesome. But if all four of those quarterbacks go, meaning J.J. McCarthy would be the fourth overall pick in this draft, which is way higher than many people thought when this process began when he announced he was leaving Michigan. If McCarthy winds up going fourth overall, allowing Jim Harbaugh to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State as his first draft choice, returning to the NFL after leaving Michigan with a national championship in his wake, is the ultimate, you cannot make this stuff up. And trust me, he would take Marvin Harrison Jr. in a heartbeat.
Best reality show there is, man.
All this stuff of like, oh, he wouldn't take a Buckeye, huh? Okay. So there's all that to discuss with Matt Miller and also with Albert Breer behind him. And we've got a power rankings, yes, of the 10 best moments of opening day.
Hey,
power ranking the 10 best moments of Major League Baseball opening day. And the comedian Alex Edelman will be here in studio in hour number three. Very, very funny guy. But Matt Miller is next. He'll tell us what he thinks of this draft a month away.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. With Indeed, everything hiring is all in one place, and it makes it so easy. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences each day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/podcast. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Back here on the show. Okay, everybody. So have we heard from Mike Del Tufo from the salt mines of the UFL?
No.
Okay. Okay. So let's turn the page on that.
I was looking at their bracket real quick and there's a team called Taylor Swift's Pop-Tarts in there that's very close to the top.
Is that right?
Well, I actually think Del Tufo's in like the top 20.
Toilet! Come on, don't tell me that. Because he's such an expert because he watches more than anybody else. Although he can never tell you the teams that he's watching.
There's a Mike's Busted Bracket. I don't know if
Del Tufo was right.
No
way.
Not.
No way. He doesn't have that sort of... I don't think he has that sort of...
He's probably got
irony.
A D's Nuts joke or something.
I don't have everything
exactly.
Ready.
D's Nuts would be more his style of sense of humor. Ironic wink and a nod.
Xander's in 38th place.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He's going to be psyched about that. Because who does he have to win it all?
He has Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean.
But so does everybody else, really.
There's a Rich Eisen team. I'm wondering, are you that Rich Eisen?
Yes, I'm 68th.
Oh.
68th.
Yeah, I put my name up there.
Oh, my mom is 50.
I just assumed somebody else might have taken your
my
name.
My mom has Houston. No. So if Houston can win, I think she's got a good chance.
Where is she sitting?
She's 50th.
There's a few people of Houston in front.
Oh, okay.
Your mom's 50th,
Yeah. Oh, Adam is 68, tied with Rich.
I'm like 150.
So who's in first right now?
First place right now is...
It's a cup three-way tie.
Wait, your mom's in this and I wasn't even invited?
I know.
Everybody was
I mean,
invited.
Everyone was invited, dog.
Sad Bronco, Brady, and Robbie Cotney.
Very good. Good luck to them. Good Back luck. On the Rich Eisen Show Radio first. Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let us deep dive into this NFL draft less than a month away from playing out. From the worldwide leader in sports, the NFL draft analyst Matt Miller is back on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Matt?
Rich, I'm doing well. Can't wait to see you in Detroit. We've got a couple of fun weeks of studying ahead of us. No, it's going to be a good time.
No doubt. So the pro days for the major college quarterbacks available in this year's draft are done. Now we're in the old top 30 visit portion of their evaluation. What is your evaluation of Caleb Williams? Do you agree he is the surefire, definite number one overall selection in this year's draft?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he should be. You know, and that's Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears will have a fun decision to make. But I think everything that Caleb encompasses at the quarterback position, you know, the talent he showed at Oklahoma and then the 2 years at USC, his ability to navigate, you know, a tough change in his career, to play this past year at USC with, we're not talking about a lot of Trojans being drafted in the top 100 picks of this year's draft. So to play on that roster without superstar talent around him and still have a fantastic year individually, you know, despite a tough record for them, I think he is the right quarterback to go to Chicago and you know, finally give the Bears that franchise quarterback that they've been longing for my entire life, at least, you know, a long time. The Bears have been trying to find this guy. And I think Caleb is uniquely suited to go to Chicago and be that player for them.
Do you think Mahomes is the fair comp? I mean, that's all we've been hearing for a year plus, Matt. Do you?
Yeah, I'm the comp guy at ESPN, but I'm not going to go that crazy with it. I think you see some styles to Mahomes, you know, his arm strength, his field vision, the way that he will drift, you know, in the pocket to extend the play. All that is, you know, he's borrowing that from Mahomes. I think that is a lofty, it would be like, you know, compare someone to Tom Brady back in the day. I just don't want to do that. But I think there are styles of Mahomes, styles of Aaron Rodgers. I've said he reminds me a lot of a young Russell Wilson because I think he's also a more accomplished runner than a Mahomes or a Rodgers have really been in their career. Some of that's by design, but I think Caleb can be a dual threat quarterback. We certainly saw that at Oklahoma. So I see a young Russell Wilson who we have to remember was, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls, was a top five, top six NFL quarterback, certainly at times. So I think Caleb can be that type of player, but I just don't want to put the Mahomes expectations on anyone.
Well, the number one overall pick of the 21 draft, Joe Burrow had a Brady comp. There was a lot of folks who were saying, you know what?
There were.
And it's so funny that whenever that happened, or what you kind of just said about Mahomes and what everybody is saying about a comp from Mahomes, you always have to apologize before you do that because that is something you're slapping on the kid. Hey, I apologize for saying he reminds me of somebody who's an all-time great. But he kind of does, you know, like and right. That's why he stands out, I think.
You're right. And I think the way you phrased it is why you're so good at this job, because you say he reminds me of, instead of my NFL expectation for him is. So I think if we say, you know what, Caleb reminds me of Mahomes, he reminds me of Aaron Rodgers in this area and that area, I think that's really a responsible way to frame it. And you can draw into those comparisons. But, you know, when it's one line in an article, people are going to say, oh, my gosh, Matt Miller compared Caleb Williams to Patrick Mahomes. If he doesn't win three Super Bowls in 5 years and completely change the way we evaluate quarterbacks, he's going to fall short of that. So, yeah, there are certainly characteristics that remind you of those guys. And that's why he's being considered, you know, one of the greatest quarterback prospects probably since Andrew Luck and in the, you know, probably over a Trevor Lawrence, over a Joe Burrow, because of that dual threat ability that he brings to the game.
And because you complimented me like that, Matt, you remind me of somebody very smart and astute. How does that sound? Right? That
I like good? It. Okay. I like
great.
It.
Yeah. So great. Then moving on to number two overall, what's your evaluation there? Because that's going to be sitting, we all assume, into the laps of the Washington Commanders in a few Thursdays.
That is the fascinating pivot point in this draft. And my, you know, kind of thought process has been that Cliff Kingsbury would go with Jaden Daniels out of LSU because of the style of quarterback that Cliff has liked in the past. What gets you in trouble, though, is Drake May has played in a Phil Longo air raid style system, which would work very well with what Kingsbury has done traditionally. You could even look at someone like J.J. McCarthy, Adam Peters, the Commanders general manager, is coming from San Francisco, where they've had a lot of success with an accurate timing-based quarterback in Brock Purdy. So you could look at all three of these quarterbacks and talk yourself into a really good scheme fit there. I still lean Jaden Daniels. I think the running ability that he has, the downfield passing ability, which is so great and would pair so well with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson and what they do want to do offensively. I go back to, and I know Cliff Kingsbury is just the offensive coordinator. There are a lot of other people there who are going to make decisions. But when he took the Cardinals job, they had Josh Rosen, who they traded up for the year before. And he said day one, no, I want Kyler Murray because this is the perfect quarterback for my offense. Jaden Daniels is the closest player in this draft to that in terms of what he gives you as a runner and as a downfield thrower.
I mean, where do you stand on Jaden Daniels' 2023 season? Heisman Trophy, we all know that. And the comp, where the analysis I hear most is that he's the one who's most pro ready, I guess. On top of it, though, he's got Malik Nabers that he's throwing to, though, right? I mean, so he's got some top notch talent, and I guess you can then make that leap that, well, Terry McLaurin is pretty much top notch talent in the National Football League, as a for instance. And then you can marry the two, or you take a look at someone like Drake May or somebody like J.J. McCarthy, who's most, I guess, common analysis I hear, which drives me nuts, is he didn't have to do too much for Michigan, which is insane. But where do you stand on this evaluation of film and analysis for what the future could be, or just the inside guts of a quarterback position that's so tough to evaluate?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest miss rate for teams and for us in the media is evaluating quarterbacks. When I look at Jaden, though, Rich, I see someone who not only was he the best player in college football last year, you know, with the Heisman Trophy, he was the most improved player in college football. Who he was in 2022 to who he became in 2023 is a very different player. He got better from within the pocket. He started trusting his arm more. He even started protecting himself more as a runner, as we saw over the course of this season. If you watch week one against Florida State and then watch him throughout the year, he starts doing a better job of protecting his frame. So even though Jaden is a little bit older than a J.J. McCarthy or a Drake May, we've seen him continue to improve. So I think there's still some meat on the bone. There's still room for him to get better as he, you know, gets into an NFL system. But I'm with you. I was at the Michigan Pro Day. J.J. McCarthy, and I don't want to put too much stock into Pro Days. J.J. had a fantastic Pro Day. And you fall in love with the kid the more you're around him and you're around his family and the people that he has surrounding him in his corner. And you do understand why teams are talking about him now is he might be the number two overall pick in this draft. He's certainly someone I think will be a top four pick in this draft. So the more you know, are connected to people like J.J. McCarthy, and you know, I had a GM tell me when I got in this business, quarterbacks are evaluated from January until the draft. You watch the film during that time, you know, what they did in the season matters, but so much of the quarterback position is what you were talking about. It's the football IQ. It's the work ethic. It's the drive. It's the ability to overcome adversity. For a lot of these guys, the NFL will be the first time that they've, you know, had a losing record in their career. So how do you handle things like that? And the more people I talk to, you hear the answer to that question is J.J. McCarthy because of how well and how hard he was coached at Michigan, what was put on his shoulders as a team leader. And no, he didn't throw the ball 40, 50 times a game. But when he had to throw the ball, it was like, okay, you haven't thrown in 10 minutes, but now it's 3rd and 7. We need you to make a play. And he would go out there and consistently do that.
And plus, how about this? And I'll pound the table for him. How about this? At age 20, he's a 20-year-old where everybody feels the next step for him is the National Football League. And he had no idea, although he probably assumed that he was going to leave Michigan at the end of this year and go into the NFL. How about at age 20, in the first big nationally televised game of the year where it's all on the line and his head coach is suspended and the offensive coordinator is the interim coach and that guy calls for 30-some-odd straight run plays and he doesn't bat an eye, he doesn't complain, he doesn't go, what about my draft stock status? What about me? What about my future? He just keeps his head down and keeps winning football games. That has to count for something. That has to in an evaluation.
It absolutely does. Absolutely, because I do think we are in a little bit of an era, understandably, with college football where guys are looking out for themselves. You know, NIL has changed that. Everyone is an individual now much more than they ever have been before. So I haven't heard anyone say that before. I think that's an interesting point with JJ. And it says who he is, you know, as a leader, as a player, to not have that what about me you know, kind of stigma. And to say, that's fine against Penn State, we don't have to throw the ball in the second half. We're still going to win. And, you know, I got maybe 15 minutes with him after the Michigan Pro Day. It was a fantastic conversation. I've spoken to his dad a couple times, spoken to his quarterback coach, Greg Holcomb, a couple times. And I'll tell you, watching the NFL head coaches, offensive coordinators, and general managers during his throwing workout, I mean, they're just salivating standing there. I mean, there was a nice bubble of people, and right up front was Josh McCown, the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota, or excuse me, quarterbacks coach of the Minnesota Vikings. And Cliff Kingsbury's there talking to John Beck, who's going to run the pro day. And, you know, these guys are big decision makers offensively with these teams that are, you know, drafting in the top three or will potentially be drafting in the top three. So I think the closer we get, people, it's lying season, it's smokescreen season. Yes, but also the closer we get to the draft, I think the more concrete some of the information gets. And I just had a mock draft come out. I had JJ going fourth overall, and I wouldn't be shocked if April 25th he goes two or three as compared to four in this trade up that I had in the 7-round mock draft this week.
Matt Miller here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's check your mock work, sir. And you have two trades that will shock the system, to say the least, because they are coming up from 11 and 12 to go up to 3 and 4 respectively to get their quarterbacks of the future. You do have Caleb Williams going first to the Bears and Jaden Daniels to the Commanders. Why do you think the Vikings would trade all the way up for Drake May, third overall? What do you think is at play there, Matt?
Yeah, I think the Vikings are trading up, getting 11 and 23. You know, the move to come back in with the Houston Texans 5 weeks before the draft would be very questionable if you weren't going to pair that to get into the top three. I think right now it's more interesting that the Vikings, we know, are going to climb the ladder to get that quarterback. Who the quarterback is kind of reminds me of when San Francisco went up to get Trey Lance. They made that trade 5-6 weeks before the draft. No one knew exactly. We all thought it was Mac Jones for a long time. No one knew exactly who they were going up to get, but they gave themselves that time to narrow their list down of, do we want Justin Fields? Do we want Trey Lance? Do we want Mac Jones? They knew those were the guys who were going to be available. They ultimately made that decision on Trey Lance. I think Minnesota's in a similar spot where they know they can get to 3 or 4 now. They can at least get to 4 where the Arizona Cardinals are. So they just have to decide which of these quarterbacks do they like enough to do that. Now, will New England trade out of 3? I feel like sometimes I'm the only one who will say, I think the Patriots need to trade out. And now we're getting closer to the draft. We're starting to hear things that they're willing to listen to some of these offers, at least in a team that, you know, they've got to rebuild the offensive line. They've got to rebuild the wide receiver room. Is that a spot where you want to throw a rookie quarterback into, especially someone 21-year-old like Drake May, who's a 2-year starter? Do you want to throw him into that system, or would you rather, you know, build the team first and then put a Drake May in there? But I think for Minnesota, with Christian Darrisaw, you have Jordan Addison, you have the best receiver in the NFL, Justin Jefferson. So whether you're May or McCarthy, that's where you want to go. You want to be with Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings.
Matt Miller here at NFL Draft Scout. Follow him on the old X machine right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And listen, Sean Payton trading up to go get J.J. McCarthy seems like an excellent marriage. That seems like some kid who can take the tough coaching from Harbaugh, Sean Payton in the Bill Parcells mode, and also an accurate passer, something that Drew Brees, we all know, is. And we always, with Sean Payton, we always assume he's looking for the next Drew Brees. You know, I kind of dig that idea, Matt. I'm sure Denver would too.
Yeah, and that was honestly that went into it of, who is someone that Sean Payton's going to sit with for 15 minutes and think, this guy can handle me? And if you can be coached by Jim Harbaugh for 3 years, I think you can handle Sean Payton as well. Some of the stories about the way Payton has coached in Denver, I think is a little bit new for some people, but I think JJ could absolutely withstand that and thrive in that environment. But also, he is that timing-based passer who has poise, he has instincts. Now, there's a throw against Ohio State that I'm sure you have memorized where the linebacker's head is turned around and JJ throws it right at that linebacker, knowing he's not going to get his head around, and his player is able to make a great catch on that ball. That's the stuff that I think Sean Payton's going to see and think, not only is JJ mobile, which is really important for his offense, but he's coachable. And to some degree, you know, he's going to go out there and run the offense that you tell him to run. There's not going to be a lot of ad-libbing early in his career because he's been coached by Jim Harbaugh, who says, here's the offense. As you mentioned, Rich, we might run the ball 30 times in a row, but we're going to win, and that's all that matters. I think JJ and Sean Payton is really a perfect marriage in terms of personalities and also play style within the offense.
And then I guess in the category, Matt, of you can't make this up, the fact that JJ McCarthy would be the fourth quarterback in a row taken and a team trades up to go get him, leaving Jim Harbaugh to be able to get Marvin Harrison Jr. to start off his return to the National Football League from Ohio State is something you cannot make up, you know? That would be something else. Certainly sending Keenan Allen to Chicago, Mike Williams walks to the Jets. There's Marvin Harrison Jr. for Justin Herbert and his new offense. That would be something else, right? I mean, that's exactly... outside of trading the pick, which the Chargers might consider doing, that's what I was hearing at the combine, that's what they wanted the most. But this would be the dream scenario for the Chargers. They don't need a quarterback. Four other quarterback needy teams take one, and he gets Marvin Harrison Jr. as the de facto first overall pick of the non-quarterback draft. You know?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's storybook. And I, you know, it would be, does Harbaugh take an Ohio State player, though? I think that would be the question. Sure. Could he do it?
Oh, yes, Matt. You know, Matt, absolutely he could do it. Those days are over. He's turned the page. It's gone. He can absolutely do it. And who knows better on how difficult it would be to stop Marvin Harrison and what his game is and what it means for an offense than the guy who tried to stop it and successfully did, quite frankly, it all said and done by winning. But that's just... that's the aside. But absolutely, right. Matt, he would do it in a heartbeat. No question.
And it would be perfect for Harbaugh. And I think the question, if it goes like this, comes down to Harrison or Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame. And you know, there's a great argument to be had for both players. But I think looking at this from a team-building standpoint, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Justin Herbert is the matchup you want, especially if you're Justin Herbert. You're probably looking at your wide receiver room right now wondering, what are we doing? Where am I supposed to go with the ball? Especially, you know, they even lose tight end Gerald Everett, who is a really valuable, you know, passing game weapon. You lose Austin Eckler, very valuable in the passing game. So replacing some of those targets with a Marvin Harrison Jr., who is, every time I watch him, I think that's Larry Fitzgerald in today's game. You know, 6'3", 210 pounds, 4'4 speed, beautiful ability to run routes, to adjust to the ball. And he's pro ready right now. He's been pro ready, you know, probably since he came out of high school. So if you're Justin Herbert, that's the pick I think that you're advocating for. I've heard the trade down talk as well. I think that was before some of the free agency and salary cap things happened. But if I'm a Chargers fan, this is what I want. I want four quarterbacks in the top four, which maybe that's why Harbaugh keeps telling everyone JJ is the greatest quarterback of all time. It's because he wants someone to do this. But
it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's really good politicking if that's the case.
No doubt. I mean, McCarthy gets pushed up. Solidifies his reputation as a quarterback whisperer, and then of course he winds up with Marvin Harrison Jr. And if I may put my draft analyst hat on for just a quick second and roster building hat on for just a quick second, Joe Alt's not a left tackle. I mean, not a right tackle. He's a left tackle. Yeah. And they got Rashawn Slater there. So they're not going to go and the one thing that everyone was talking about at the combine during the workout is that when Alt had to sort of act like a right tackle with the drills on the field, he didn't look nearly the same as he did as a left tackle, which makes complete sense. Where do you stand on Malik Nabers versus Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because, you know, that's a conversation we're hearing a little bit right now. And the kid lit it up at the LSU Pro Day. Where do you stand on that, Matt?
I still think Harrison's better. They're both great. And it goes down to the, you know, the flavor of ice cream analogy that we all use for scouting is they're all really good. It's just what flavor do you want? And I think it'll come down to scheme fit. Nabers is, you know, 70% of his production was in the slot, whereas Harrison and Rome Odunze from Washington are true outside X wide receivers. So it is going to depend on what you want at that position. But Nabers plays like he has a jetpack on. I mean, you know, we talk so much about comparisons. I've heard DJ Moore. I've heard Steve Smith. I've heard Tyreek Hill from NFL Evaluator. So, you know, the explosion that he has is rare. We did see that at the Pro Day with the 4.35 unofficial, the 42-inch vertical. At 199 pounds, this is not Xavier Worthy weighing $165 running a 4.2. It's a little bit different when you're at 199 pounds. But he's built like a running back who plays like a wide receiver, which is perfect for today's game where you want to get the ball out to the boundary, let guys create in space. That's his game. So I know, you know, it's been heavily reported. You know, I was even saying this back in the Senior Bowl. There are teams that believe Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver in this class. There are teams that believe He's the best player in this class. Now, those teams don't need a wide receiver, or excuse me, they don't need a quarterback. So they're able to say that. But, you know, it will be, I think, certainly an interesting decision, whether it's at 5 or 6 with the New York Giants or on down the line whenever that first receiver does come off the board. It's going to be interesting to see which of the 2 or even which of the 3, if you throw Odunze in there, are going to be that first player to come off.
And then, of course, you know, sticking with the free agency changed the way things were viewed at the combine to the way you might mock draft it now. Matt Miller here on the show, you know, Dallas Turner at 8 to the Falcons. I think you can, you know, maybe pen that one in because they don't need a quarterback and they could use Dallas Turner sitting there at 8. And then Brock Bowers to the Jets at 10. I mean, the Jets have ticked a lot of boxes in free agency to allow them to take Bowers at 10. We're all sharpieing in Rome Odunze for the Bears. If they walk out with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze in the first 10 picks, that would be a home run. But Bowers at 10 to the Jets, that does make sense, right? I mean, Bowers' skill set for them would work, right, Matt?
Absolutely. I mean, he almost becomes their de facto slot receiver in this situation because you add Mike Williams to the outside. Obviously, they have a great young player in Garrett Wilson. They shored up both tackle spots with Morgan Moses and with Tyron Smith. So they really, the Jets, have put themselves in a best player available mentality at 10 overall. They could always backstop one of the tackle spots, knowing the injury history of Tyron Smith, the age of Morgan Moses. They're both 33 years old. But I do think it feels like they're pushing every chip to the middle, whether it be Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh feeling like they have to win this year, 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers, the core additions they've made offensively are all guys in their 30s. It feels like they're going all in. And Brock Bowers, of the players who would be available at 10, is the one most ready to contribute right away. You know, we saw Sam Laporta have a huge impact last year at tight end for the Detroit Lions. And I think Bowers is a very similar type player who traditionally we say rookie tight ends aren't going to have a huge impact, huge production right away. I think Bowers is a difference because we've seen him play tailback at Georgia. We've seen him play slot receiver, inline tight end. He's more of an offensive weapon. So it would be fun to see how the Jets would utilize a player like that. Rodgers, traditionally, not a huge tight end thrower. That hasn't been a part of his game. But go back and look at how much he used guys like Randall Cobb on underneath option routes. And Bowers is going to fit into that role really well.
In the few minutes I have left with you, Matt, some quick hitters. In your second 10, this is where a ton of really talented linemen go. Fashanu to the Patriots would be terrific for them to cash in. One of the picks that you think they'd get from the Vikings. You got Fuaga going to the Saints. Fatanu going to Seattle would help build things up, obviously, on that line there, even a little bit more. But Bo Nix to the Raiders is where I want to land here. Where do you stand on Nix versus Penix Jr. on that front?
Yeah, it all goes down to medicals. And, you know, right now where we're at, we don't have all the information on Michael Penix with the, you know, 4 straight years of season-ending injuries at Indiana. He's healthy the last 2 years at Washington. He had a fantastic pro day earlier this week. So I think right now I'm a little higher on Nix. The experience, 61 starts, the most ever in college, is certainly helpful. You know, his ability to go from struggling at Auburn to battling that adversity and becoming a great player at Oregon. I think his underneath accuracy and timing are exactly, you know, where the NFL's at right now. He doesn't have the hugest arm, but he has good mobility. So I think, you know, being drafted in the top 15 is a little bit of an overdraft for Bo Nix, but everything I continue to hear is, you know, he's robotic with his memory. He's a great leader. He executes the offense well. He's very accurate. And those guys do tend to get drafted a little bit earlier, especially when there are some teams, you know, like a Denver or like the Raiders who are desperate for a quarterback right now. Even the Raiders, after signing Gardner Minshew, who I will always love as a quarterback, you know, I think there's still an area there where they have to be looking at the future and say, we need to strike and go get our guy.
And then your final third here of the first round, so many fascinating choices here. You've got J.C. Latham to the Dolphins, who, as we all know, lost Robert Hunt. They need to start building up that line. You've got the Eagles taking a Clemson Tiger, not a Georgia Bulldog, so I'll have to push back there. You know, Amarius Mims with Tyron Smith now with the Jets. That's a pretty big dude that you want to put on the line there. Laiatu Latu seems to be like a perfect Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So you got Vea and Latu on the same line there. Adonai Mitchell going to the Bills would be pretty sweet. Ladd McConkey adding his quick game to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. And you do think the Chiefs go ahead and get the fastest guy in the history of the combine? That's what you think?
You, you got to do it. You got to do it. And even after signing Hollywood Brown to that 1-year deal, I talked to someone in Kansas City and they said, we have ultimate flexibility now. We can go any area we want in the first round. We don't have to take a wide receiver. We don't have to take an offensive lineman, but it's just too special to have the speed of Xavier Worthy stretching the field with Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce underneath. Maybe it's just fun to think about. Maybe that's more of a Madden football move, yes. But it also kind of feels like Brent Veach a little bit to have 4-2-1 speed and Patrick Mahomes throwing the deep ball would get us back to some, you know, pre-2022 type Kansas City Chiefs football.
And yeah, and the new kickoff rule with that kid, right? Like, why not?
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, he's the best return man in the draft.
Right.
You got to have two punt returns. So
you got to have two. Yeah. Right. You got to have two back. Why not Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy? Go ahead. Press your luck. You know.
Well, and they've got the Rucker or the rugby star now too.
That's right. They signed him today. Oh my goodness.
Reef Lightning. So.
That is a great nickname. I love that. Hey, Matt, I really appreciate the time. Look for my call one more time before the draft, at least, and we'll see you in Detroit. Thanks again.
Sounds great, Rich.
Good stuff right there from Matt Miller. We'll take a break. We'll set up what the Patriots' decision-making is with you back here in the chair, Chris, and then we'll get to Albert Breer and your phone calls, 844-204-RICH, on a What's More Likely Friday, also still to come.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
You're a type of guy that figures if it's not going the Yankees' way, it's because of the way you're sitting or what you're wearing. You literally believe that.
Oh, yeah. I literally believe that. Like, somebody can walk in the room and I'll go like, who's this guy? You got to be careful. And like, one time my brother-in-law was sitting in a chair against the Red Sox and the guy hit a bomb. And then he came the next night. And I said, you sat there last night? And he goes, yeah. I go, no, just sit over here. He goes, I can't sit here. I said, sit over there. You were there last night. You screwed everything up. So
that's family that you treat your brother-in-law?
I don't care. I don't care if it's a brother-in-law. You know what I mean? I mean, I throw my hat sometimes when I get mad. That might turn it. And I go, all right, leave the hat. Drop the baseball. Leave the baseball. I'm telling you. Like last night, I brought out the broom and Chapman was starting to sweat me out.
Right.
I go, get that broom out of here. Get the broom out of here right now. Don't fool around right now with the mojo. I can do that in my house. When I'm at the stadium, at least I'm with people like me that I can relate to, so I don't have to do that. It's harder to watch than to participate because you have no control. It's like on an airplane. Your life, you could die. You're like, you know, you go like that when you land and whatever. So you're out of control. At least when you're acting or you're doing the scene,
right.
It's you. But I feel like I could turn things sometimes. I just feel like if I'm there, like even though with the Astros, I feel like if I go to H-Town, I could beat those Cowboys right in that stadium. Somehow my mojo. I almost did it once in 2001 in the Diamondbacks, Game 7.
Yeah.
It was working. It was freaking working. People were calling me when Soriano hit a homer.
Yeah.
I said, don't jinx it. They go, you're doing it. You're doing it. I said, I know. And then there was that stupid bunt where Mariano threw the ball to second. Never should have did that. Changed the whole inning.
It did change.
I was almost in tears. Imagine driving back in the desert 5 hours after a lost game 7 like that.
You're in tears, huh?
Oh, yeah. Some guy goes, wow, you're a real fan. I said, yeah, I know.
Good thing there wasn't a camera on him with Clay Holmes pitching yesterday. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. So a 9-individual contingent reportedly from the Patriots at North Carolina Pro Day yesterday to watch Drake May in person and then meet with him and chat with him. And so a couple things leap to mind when you hear Drake May responding to the question about chatting with the Patriots.
Drake, how would you describe your conversations with the Patriots as you've started to get to know them more throughout this process?
Yeah, they've been great. You know, Coach May, obviously, you know, first year head coach, you know, congrats to him. Just in there, you know, talking with, you know, new offensive coordinator, you know, with Coach Van Pelt, and just learning their stuff. And I think it's just been awesome for such a, you know, historic, you know, program and team and history up there in New England. So just getting a chance to kind of get to know them, get to know what they're about, and kind of their champion mindset of getting back to the glory days has been cool.
So, first of all, two things leap to mind. One is that's Philip Rivers reincarnate, right? He works with Philip Rivers. He sounds just like Philip Rivers.
2.0. I love it.
Okay, you'll take him.
I'll take him.
And two, for him to give an answer and then say nothing, perfect Patriot.
He really did. Just a bunch of words. Just in, glory days, yeah. Mayo, congrats to him.
Yeah, yeah. May.
What'd you say?
And Mayo together? Come on.
Hey.
May and Mayo.
And number 10's available, too, because, you know. Mac got shipped out.
Okay, number 10's available. Kind of makes sense.
Mayo said, look, he's got no ceiling, a lot of room to grow.
Question.
He can learn from Jacoby.
Question. Would you take Drake May or the two first-round picks and then go get the two guys? It's Olufoshanu from Penn State. Very good.
And then
Cooper DeJean from Iowa, the corner.
This guy's badass. I mean, come on.
You take the quarterback.
Cooper DeJean and Olufoshanu aren't winning playoff games.
They might. You got to build the line. You got to build
the
line.
That's not the reason why. Got to have a quarterback. Got to have a quarterback in this league. Got to do it. We can trade their second round pick, which is 30 whatever, and accumulate some assets and get some guys in the second and third round. Let's go. Let's go get the QB.
I think they're going to have to do that. I think they have to do it.
You can't be left behind.
Well, you also
you can't get left behind in the quarterback game in the NFL.
You went 15th overall and you got one. Didn't work out.
Keep drafting. Look, they were a team even with Tom Brady.
So
they would draft a quarterback every single year.
You got to go quarterback. You just have to.
Got
to
do it.
Or you just stay put. You build the team up and go get Dak next year when he hits free agency. What are you laughing about over there? Laugh all you want, pal. Your quarterback's hitting free agency as we're hitting April.
What am I
right
supposed
now?
To do? Either cry or laugh. There's two options here.
That's
and I
true.
Ain't going to cry, so I got to laugh
Dak's
about
gonna
it.
Dak's going to be the first $60 million player, right?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Was it, well, judging by the Rich Eisen list of who's up next.
Who's up next? The quarterback market is, you know, I mean, look at Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, leveled off a little bit.
It's leveled off a little bit. Mahomes will be the first $60 million.
Daniel Jones messed that up.
Well, he's got a 10-year deal. So he's gonna,
no, they keep on. They're going to have to rip that thing up at some point.
They're going to tinker with it.
Start it again. Yeah, they will.
Well, the Chiefs need to save money, apparently. I've heard they're a poor franchise.
Oh, my God.
They need look taxpayer
at
you. Dollars
look
for
at this guy over there.
Look, we're just reporting the news. Okay. That's all he's doing.
This guy.
That's what I've heard.
That guy right there. Albert Breer is going to join us coming up next.
Breer.
This guy. I wasn't around when those, where was I when, I would think it was, in, was I in Hawaii? Susie was in the chair when those grades came out? NFLPA grades came out?
You weren't in Hawaii, was he?
I think I was.
I think you were gone, when the PA stuff came out. Yeah.
Suze was in the chair.
Yeah,
talking about those grades.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's on the ballot in Missouri to vote. Extend a sales tax so the Chiefs could build a new stadium.
Dude, everybody.
We were just reporting the news, Rich. That's all we were doing.
I forget way back in the day. Don't you remember Bob Kraft once held a press conference in Hartford, Connecticut, Chris? It's just the way everything goes. Yeah.
They didn't make a ballot measure in Massachusetts, though.
Patriots were going to move to Hartford. I remember that.
Great. They weren't coming off three Super Bowls in 5 years.
I remember that.
Back then.
This guy. I mean, honestly, every franchise lives in a glass house. Every franchise.
But the taxpayers shouldn't pay for the stadium.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Just saying.
So.
Here it comes.
No.
Take Drake May. Let's go.
I think that's the way it's going to go.
Let him sit for the year. That's why you signed Jacoby. You brought him home. Let him play.
Okay. You know what doesn't happen? You know it's not going to happen? That.
What do you mean?
It won't happen.
Happened with Jordan Love. Okay. Happened with Patrick Mahomes.
So the
Pats
are 4-8, and he'll just stand there in his helmet looking great? Because
he's got to
still learn.
Everyone universally agrees that he's not ready to start in year one.
Got it.
You got to do it a different way, man.
We've got a full month of April to have these conversations. We're going to break. Albert Breer coming back.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day, plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.